Okay, this is our last shir on Sefer Yonah. I am still taking suggestions for next week as we begin a new Sefer. It did not seem like Shir HaShirim got a lot of excitement. So you let me know what you think, and we will begin Bezrat Hashem, a new Sefer in Tanakh, next week. So we find ourselves at the end of Sefer Yonah. We find ourselves Yonah in a deep emotional depressed state, where Yonah now is living outside of the city of Nineveh, you know, seeing its, you know, waiting its destruction, hoping, you know, it's unclear, but it seems to be he's pretty pessimistic and pretty bleak about his, you know, his perspective on these people. And at least he has this sukkah. He has a sukkah. This sukkah, again, it's very hot. I don't know. We don't know what time of year this was, but it's pretty hot there. And he at least has a sukkah that provides him with shade. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the sukkah, according to many Mefarshim, either dries up or is going to dry up and doesn't help him out too much. So Hashem makes for him a kikayon, which is a very large leafy tree with very big leaves, and that gives him a lot of sail, a lot of shade, and he's happy again. Not just happy, the Pasuk points out here in Pasuk Vav, he had a simcha gedola from the shade. So it is important to notice and recognize and appreciate that small things in life sometimes make us very happy. It's not always the big things and the grand gestures, but very often it is the small things in life that makes us happy. And just to have a place to sit with some air conditioning, you know, and everything works in the house, dayenu. We should be happy that those things work, especially now it's getting colder, the heat should work, and we should be happy with that. But we discussed why Yonah had such extreme emotions, especially when the next morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the kikayon dried up very, very fast. It withered away within 24 hours. And it seems like God is playing with Yonah. Or we would say today, he's messing. He's messing with Yonah. And like, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing here? It seems very devious. That he's, you know, he gives something to Yonah, makes him feel good, and now he's taking it away from him. What's going on here? And this is, again, we have to think about it, like we'll discuss it, and hopefully, you know, you have some thoughts in terms of what is going on here. So let's continue now with Pasuk Ches, unless anybody has a comment.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Just one point. At what point does Jonas sense that he's going to die?
He doesn't die.
He asks what?
He asks for death. But he doesn't die. We don't see him dying in the Sefer.
Okay.
You know, we discussed last week beautifully from Rabbi Sachs about the loneliness that Yonah felt at this moment. How some leaders throughout our history feel lonely. It's a lonely position to be in. And he felt very lonely. He asked to die, but he did not die. It's not this, he didn't die and out in the Sefer. He kizroach HaShemesh. The sun comes up the next day. Vayiman Elokim Ruach Kadim Charishis. And then what happens, right? He made it very, very hot. Again, Yonah, the kikayon was taken away from him. Now it's very hot. Vatach Hashemesh Arosh Yonah Vayis Aleif. Vayis Aleif is, we use that word in modern Hebrew today. Also, Vayis Aleif means he became faint. He dizzy, nauseous, he became faint. V'yish'al es nafsho lamos. And he said, God, tov mosi mechayai, it is better for me to die than it is to live. You know, it's interesting, and I think it's a very important point, is that Yonah never took his life. Yonah never did anything to take his life actively. He maybe said it. He spoke about death a lot. And he even, you know, suggested to other people in order to save them, throw me off the boat. But he never did anything himself to take his own life. It's very fascinating. very fascinating, important, especially in the world and the country that we live in, where unfortunately that's becoming common. Vayomer Elokim El Yonah. Then Hashem says to Yonah. Again, notice here that there are two names of God that we mostly use. We use the name Yudkei Vavkei, and we use the name Elokim, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem. Those reflect two different ways that God interacts with the world. I'm oversimplifying it now. But Yudkei Vavkei is God acting with the world, B'midas HaRachamim, with compassion and mercy and love. That's the Avinu, right? As a father or like a mother. And then there is Elokim, that is judgment. That is strict justice, following the letter of the law. Meaning, if there's something that is done wrong, you get a patch. That's just the way that it works. And the name of God switches from pasuk to pasuk. And that's very instructive for us. Vayomer Elokim El Yonah, Hahitiv Charalach al Hakikayon. Are you so sad that this kikayon, withered away? Vayomer Hativ Charali Admaves. Yes, I am so depressed that I want to die. So notice it's Elokim here. It's God talking from the perspective of Midas Adin, from that notion. And what is Hashem setting up for Yonah here? Number one, he took away the only thing that Yonah enjoyed at this moment, little bit of air conditioning, a little bit of shade. And why is God even asking him, are you so angry? Of course he's so angry. If you went ahead and took away somebody's bed in the middle of the night and made them sleep on the floor, and then you went to them and said, are you so disappointed? What would they say? No, I'm not disappointed. No, take away my bed every night. Obviously he's angry. He's aggrieved. He's not happy. This is disappointing. What is Hashem trying to teach Yonah through taking something away, in a moment's notice? So Hashem says to him, Vayomer Hashem, Ata chasta al hakikayon. You had chas. How will we define the word chas? We ask Hashem, chus verachem aleinu. We say it all the time in davening, right? Chus verachem aleinu.
Mercy.
Mercy. Yes. So Rabbi Lapp, I would say, isn't wrong. The Metzudas Sion, they define the word chus as mercy. But the problem is, it's chus virachim aleinu. You have, right, they both mean mercy, compassion, which are words that, we usually interchange when I did it a few minutes ago. Like, we interchange those words. So Rabbi Jachter, in his book on Sefer Yonah, says that chus is a little bit more. Rachmanis is, I feel bad for you. Rachmanis is really, you're in a rush and you run the red light and the cop pulls you over and says, what's going on? And he sees that you are, and here's a license registration, please. And he sees that you are all over the place. You're all over the place. And he says, what's the matter? And he says, well, I have this big meeting to have a big interview today, and I'm in a big rush. That's why I'm dressed so nicely. And, I was so flustered. I didn't see the red light. And he says to you, Rachmanos, I'm so sorry. He slaps a warning. Nebuch, I feel bad. Okay? I have Rachmanos. That's one level. That's Rachmanos.
Compassion,
right? That's it. It's a one moment. It's one moment. There's no connection between you and the cop. You're not going to go, or you're not inviting a cop for Shabbos lunch. Maybe you should, right? You're not going to send that cop a Hanukkah card. maybe you should. I'm not saying if you want to, go ahead. But that's not, that, there's no relationship there. He says that chus is more about, there's not just compassion and mercy, but there's an involvement and a care about the person's life. That you take notice of this person and this special, you know, extra focus and mercy and compassion for this person because of this person, because you love this person and you care about them.
So when we say chas v'shalom, that's the meaning of that, chas v'shalom?
Yeah, chas v'shalom. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, it's chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom. Yes, I guess maybe what we're saying is, I don't know how exactly translates it from Hebrew into English, Peter, but I guess what it means is chas, like Hashem, have a personal, you care about me so much, like this shouldn't happen. You know, we talk about this, it shouldn't happen. You know, maybe something along those lines.
Rabbi.
Yeah, Nathan.
Why is Hashem paying so much attention to Yonah?
That's you know, so that's a fair point. You can ask that question about all of us. Why does Hashem, you know, pay attention to any, you know, any of all of us? Yonah's a Navi, number one. Number two, there's something here that we need to learn also. Hashem's teaching Yonah something, but by this Sefer being written for posterity, meaning it made it to the 24 books of Tanakh, that means that there's something in here, Ladoros, for us in the 21st century to learn from. You know, not just as Hashem wants, loves each and every one of us like he loved Yonah, but there's something for us. So now
he's having a lot of interaction with Yonah over a long period of time.
Yes.
So if you say that this is for us, I can understand that. If you're saying this is for all time.
Yes.
It's a lesson. Hashem is teaching us a lesson.
He's teaching us something. That's really what we have to see here, is like what, as we hit this climax, what exactly is he teaching him? He says, "Ve'yomar Hashem atach." Again, now listen to, now look, the language or the description of God changes. It's not Elohim anymore. Now the next pasuk, it's Hashem. Hashem says, now it's like he puts on the father hat, the father yarmulke, and he says, what? Okay. "Ve'yomar Hashem atachasta." Al hakikayon, you didn't just have rachmanas on this kikayon. You took personal interest in this kikayon. Hashem saying to him, but why? Asher lo amaltabo velo gidalto, shebin laila haya uvin laila aver. This, you had no connection to this. You know, you didn't work a day in your life to ensure that this kikayon was going to, you know, grow and develop. You had zero involvement in it. Yet, when it grew, simcha gedola. And now when it fell down, when it, you know, withered away, lama li chayim, why am I alive? Hashem says to Yonah, like, why do you care? Why do you care so much about this? You had no investment in this. You know, I understand, you know, sometimes, you know, some people plant a garden, you plant a tree, and you remember the hard work and effort and the pain and the exertion that you put into not just, you know, planting the tree, watering it every single day. It had to be in your mind. You think about it every day. And you had to, you know, tie it up and bundle it up in the winter and make sure that the tree would grow and to flourish. And this is the tree then. How can you cut down this tree? How can you get rid of this tree? It's my tree. There's chus there. There's a connection. There's something that you personally are invested in when it comes to this tree. Hashem says, but here, Yonah, nothing doing. You are not involved in this at all. So why do you care? Why do you care? So why do you care? So Hashem says like this. Va'ani, this is the last pasuk in the entire Sefer. Va'ani lo ochos anin veheir hagadola. And right, You have to read the two psukim together. It's something like a kal vachomer. It might be. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem says, you felt bad for this kikayon that you didn't work at all, and one day it was there, and the next it was gone. Well, I shouldn't feel bad for Nineveh. Va'ani lo achos on Nineveh ha'ir hagadolah. Asher yesh ba'harbe mishtei mesrei vivo adam. That has within it more than 12,000 people. Asher lo yada ben yaminu l'smolo uvehema rabba, who don't even know they're left from their rights, and have lots of animals too. I shouldn't feel bad for them. Well, the more so that I should feel bad for them. I've invested in them. These are real people. It's 12,000 neshamos, nefashos, that live there. And they don't know from Yamino to Smolo how, all the more so that I should feel bad. The end, we should point this out, that the end of Sefer Yonah is not satisfying.
Oh, Rabbi Marco, it's 120,000.
120,000, sorry. I said 12,000. I apologize. Thank you, Michael. It's 120,000. You're correct. Thank you. So, this ending of Yonah is not satisfying. You may even be frustrated after you walk away this morning, because there is no answer to this question. Meaning, Hashem retorts to Yonah, and Yonah never responds. We do not have a response in the Tanakh to this story. There's only one other story in the whole Tanakh that also ends with a question with no answer. Anyone know what that story is? That is in Parshas Vayishlach, when Shechem takes advantage of Dinah and rapes Dinah, and then Shimon and Levi go into the town and murder most of the town, and Yaakov berates his sons, right? And there's no answer from, you know, there's no answer there at the end of the story, and it's unclear. It's unclear how, if or how it concludes. So that is important to note. But here, what exactly is Hashem's claim? What is Hashem saying? Why should I feel bad? Didn't they sin? Weren't they stealing? So why am I feeling bad for them? Why am I feeling bad for them? So there's two approaches in the Mefarshim as to why we should feel bad for them. One is from the Mitzudas David, and this is Rashi and others say this. Asher kol echa meyam enu yodeh lahafkin ben yaminu l'smolo v'him ketanim, shein lachshov lahem avon. So he says, what does it mean that the people of Nineveh didn't know the left from the right? They're adults. Adults learn, they should know. So he says that this refers to the children, that the children don't know left from right. And why should we punish the children along with the rest of the people? Therefore, Hashem says, once they did some tshuva, even nominally, I am going to save them, because there are people there that really don't know. You can't blame the children. We're not going to punish the children as a result. The problem with the Mitzudas David and his approach to this pasuk is from Parshas Vayera. The Abarbanel points this out already. And the Mabel. The Abarbanel says, wait a minute. When it comes to the Mabel and Sodom, that was never a concern about children, right? The Mabel destroyed everybody. Happens to be by the Meraglim, right? People under 20 weren't punished, which is interesting. When it comes to the Mabel and it comes to Anshei Sodom, they were punished. Even the children. I have to fix it. Okay? And that leads the Abarbanel to share something different, to share a different answer. And he says the following. He says that what why can't we blame them? Because they were called something, Tinok Shenishba. They grew up, they didn't know enough. They didn't know enough. Even the adults, they grew up, they didn't have enough knowledge to know right from left, right from wrong. Therefore, how can we blame them for this? So Yonah, according to Debar Benel, Yonah, you're so, you know, caught up in, oh, they did a little tshuva, they went back, and we shouldn't punish them. How can you blame them? What do they know? They didn't grow up this way. They really don't know enough to really be educated enough to. So therefore, he says, this is not, you can't blame them. But he says, the Abarbanel writes, when it comes to, again, this is the Abarbanel's opinion, that it's, Yonah is concerned for the covet of the Jewish people. The Jewish people do know better. The Jewish people stood at Har Sinai. They were commanded. They have the Torah. They had Nevi'im in their day. Again, we're speaking of Yonah's day. They have people who are telling them the right from wrong. They have no excuse except to do tshuva. So therefore, they are meted out on a different level than the non-Jews. Then here, the people of Nineveh, or the people of Assyria, they are treated differently than Yisrael, than Klal Yisrael over here.
How about the people of Sodom? They didn't have an excuse?
Right. So they didn't change, apparently, right? At least here by Nineveh. Nineveh was going to get overturned, but they changed a little bit.
Yeah, but someone came to tell them.
Yeah.
I didn't have the opportunity to go to them and say, maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to do tshuva.
Right. It's a fair point. According to this, then maybe the people of Sodom should have been warned. You know, the Mefarshim assume there they were so far off that it wouldn't have helped anything. Now, so how does Yonah ultimately agree to God's claim? Agree that, you know what, you're right. They deserve not to be punished. They deserve to be saved. They deserve God's salvation. Or does Yonah ultimately say, you know what, I still don't agree. I think you're wrong. And I think this is what we grapple with. And this is Rabbi Forman talks about this, that this is what many grapple with. When we see certain people having, I would say, different, I would say, subjectively better lives than others, and maybe than ourselves. And we can't get grips around that. That's hard for us to understand and to see and to understand the bigger picture, because aren't they doing the same, you know, good things and bad things as we are? Again, how does this meet itself out? Or why is that person treated better? This is something that we all on a certain level either deal with right now or have dealt with, you know, in our past. And it's something very, very real. This is part of what we, you know, and we read Sefer Yonah at the end of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur especially, we're dealing with tshuva. Why should I even be deserved a second chance? Why do I deserve a second chance? I made so many mistakes over the past year. Why do I deserve a second chance? And that's maybe what we're thinking at the end of Yom Kippur. Is this even worth it? Do I even care? Does God even care? Does God care about what I do? You know, I'm one speck of dust, you know, amongst and the answer is, yeah, God cares. He cares about each and every one of us.
Well, Rabbi Markowitz,
yeah.
I just read a comment that they were not punished, and just like the Jews were not punished by Balaam, they didn't get to curse, it's because of the number of them, just a big number, and God doesn't want to do that to a great number of people.
We were not punished by Balaam?
He didn't get to curse.
he didn't get the curse because of this reason?
The same reason as Hashem didn't punish Nimrod, because there are way too many people to punish. That's Rambam.
When it comes to too many people, it's hard to punish. Yeah. Yeah, and we're speaking about this now in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, in which countries right now, we just spoke about it right before this year started, and countries worldwide are looking. France is in disaster state right now, and Germany,
I assume the number of people holds up to a point.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard for us. I think today, like last year, we learned this. We were just okay. It'd be theoretical. It'd be something in the past. It's something for us to think about now too. This claim of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Medrash writes, Mendy, Shtika Koda. The Medrash writes that Yonah accepted. Yonah accepted God's, Taina, his claim, and that he said he's right. More of the Pashtanim point out, no, he didn't agree. Because ultimately, maybe, if we have this Masorah, Yonah never went back to Eretz Yisrael. He was buried there. He stayed there. So maybe that plays into this, that he was not connected. And he could not come to grips with this, right? And this is really what the Kikayon represents, is that we get things from God that we don't deserve. Should we then care that they get destroyed afterwards? Like, what is their personal attachments to things? Hashem modeled to Yonah what he did to Nineveh. Nineveh doesn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Yonah didn't deserve the Kikayon. He gave it to him anyway. He takes it away. God has some type of plan. He has a plan for us. We don't know. But that's we have to understand that there is a loving and caring God that is out there and loves us and wants us, wants for us and is rooting us on. And that's the way the Sefer Yonah concludes. And I guess maybe for us, in our own existential way, it's for us to answer the question of Yonah. Where do we, and maybe every day is different, where do we fit on that, when it comes to answering that question? So it's some food for thought as we conclude the Sefer.
Rabbi Markowitz?
Yeah.
You were saying about Meraglim. There it's different. Here in Nineveh, Sodom, the children were exposed to villainy, etc., throughout their life. Meraglim, these kids were children of tzaddikim, the heads of the leaders of the shvatim. It was a one-time thing. The children were exposed to this throughout their life. It was just one event. It was just one event with the Meraglim. So the children were not. The children were exposed to tzaddikim all the time. They were tzaddikim. All of a sudden, So yeah. It wasn't them. Whereas in
you're
Sodom,
right. It could be a good point.
Sodom, by the time they were born, they were exposed to this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. We're going to conclude here. I'm still taking next week, Bezrat Hashem. Hadran Allah, Sefer Yonah. We should learn it again. Bezrat Hashem, Yashikov to everybody for learning together Sefer Yonah. And my brother's getting married next week. So we're doing Zoom from home school the whole week. Just in case. Bezrat Hashem.
He's getting married the whole week?
The whole week, yeah. Baruch Hashem.
Rabbi, Thanksgiving, right? You have to get back to me.
Yes, Thanksgiving. We'll get back to you. And if you have any suggestions for next week, what's safer to learn, I'm happy to take them. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi. Hey, Rabbi Cronenberg, don't forget tomorrow. Make your reservation, 12 o'clock.
Thank you, Mandy. Have a good day.
Have a good day, everybody.
Have a nice day.
Have a good night.
Rabbi Lapp, are you there?
Yes, I am. Could you hear me?
No, tomorrow at 12. You know, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Rabbi Cronenberg is coming on.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Rabbi Cronenberg is going to give a class tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Oh, yes, yes, I have that on my calendar.
That's, okay, I just wanted to make Tuesday, sure that Tuesday. You were... Yeah, took my Tuesday. You. Tuesday at 12 o'clock.
Correct.
Send
thank it. You, okay. Thank you, Mendy.
Mendy,
okay.
Send
good day,
send,
everybody.
Mendy, send the link for that again, please.
How you doing, David?
How I'll are send David? It out to everybody. It's the same link.
Okay, how long is that going to be, that session? Because I have somebody coming over.
I have no idea. It's Rabbi Cronenberg's call. He's giving the share, not me.
Okay.
I really can't help you on that end.
That's okay.
Listen, if you have to go, you have to go. I mean, whenever you have to go, you leave. You know? Okay, have a good day, everyone.
You too.
You too.